To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the Northern Lights over Lake Ontario comes to us from SUNY Oswego student meteorologist Tommy Serra, who captured this heavenly scene on Thursday evening and was kind enough to share it with the school, who passed it along to all of us on Facebook. As a proud alumni of SUNY Oswego, I wish Mr. Serra Al Roker levels of success and give him thanks for capturing a wonder that I never had the pleasure to experience during my days at the college on the lake, and for sharing it for all to see. Well, it's Saturday, and just like Mr. Serra felt that he couldn't keep the amazing thing he saw to himself, I too feel that part of my purpose is to share the hope and the beauty of the new life that we can all find when we put our faith in Christ and decide to actually follow him too. And today is a milestone of sorts in that purpose for me, as today's purity message is the 1,000th encouraging word that I have shared. If you'd like to see that first message that is on the blog as well today. But since I did share that on the blog today, time is short. So let's celebrate the 1,000th encouraging word by continuing our current series as we enter into the 28th day of Lent and day 28 of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As a reminder, and as we will say each day of this journey, we take this path to mark the season of Lent and to draw closer to God in anticipation of the celebration of Easter, knowing that if we take this journey of repentance seriously, we will not only see the days and seasons change, the Lord will use it to change us too. You can sign up for this devotional yourself by going to the Bible Gateway link on the blog. So let's enter into day 28. And Bonhoeffer writes, "The other service one should perform for another person in a Christian community is active helpfulness. To begin with, we have in mind simple assistance in minor external matters. There are many such things wherever people live together. Nobody is too good for the lowest service. Those who worry about the loss of time entailed by such small external acts of helpfulness are usually taking their own work too seriously. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God, who will thwart our plans and frustrate our ways time and again, even daily, by sending people across our path with their demands and requests." End quote. And the biblical wisdom they pair with that passage is from Matthew 23:11, where Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." So let's dive into the study with the questions to ponder. And the first question is: What are the forms active helpfulness might take in a community of faith? One of the things I stress when I encourage or disciple Christians is that as servants sent by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ, we should also actually serve people and be known as people who solve problems. We are to be actively helpful. The way we can do that in the community of faith is by serving the church, volunteering to active ministries in that body, and by lending a helping hand to people in and out, inside and outside of the faith community. While we are not saved or approved by God by our works, after we receive our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, we really are called to do something, to walk into the good works that God has prepared for us. So be active in helping others, and also solving the problems in your own life so you can be available to help others with the problems in theirs. Is it true that nobody is too good for the lowest service? Why or why not? Yes, it is true that nobody is too good for the lowest service. As Christians, we are wretched sinners that were made saints through faith alone. That should humble us and make us grateful to do service for God's kingdom and to accept whatever task, no matter how lowly, that we are asked to do. Doing lowly works in itself can be a good practice in humility. And so doing things beneath us, quote unquote, beneath us, can actually benefit us. And we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. So, yeah, you should do that. The next question is, how does taking their work too seriously tempt people to undervalue the real needs of others? Work is a double-edged sword. As much as it can be used to give God glory, it can also cause us to be prideful. Most of our work on this earth will fade away with time. The only work that truly matters is the work we do for God. So our really important work that we do to support ourselves or expand our careers might not be as important as we think. Our being too busy or working hard can make us unavailable to help others. And thus, our pride in our work can cause us to undervalue the needs of others. We have to be aware of our prideful tendencies and try to have a balance in our life where we can support ourselves and thrive, but also be available to walk into those helpful works that would give God glory. The next portion of our study is the Psalm fragment, and the Psalm that we're taking from today is Psalm 72, verses 12 and 14. And the text says, "For he, the ruler, delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. For from oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." And as we can see, the psalmist is talking about God, the ruler of all creation, sovereign over everything. And it says that he delivers the needy when they call, and the poor, and those who have no helper. He has pity on them, and he saves them from oppression and violence. And so God's divine intervention can, you know, take care of some of that, but he also could intervene in the poor and needy's lives by sending us. So be available for the call, and when it comes, answer it. That moves us on to the journal reflections of this study. And the first prompting is to reflect on specific instances in which you were interrupted by God in the form of someone in need of help who crossed your path. What did you do, and how did you feel about it? I remember one instance at work where I had a job that turned out to be the quote-unquote customer's problem, meaning that their issue went beyond my company's responsibility, and technically, I didn't have to help them with their problem. I could just walk away and be totally in the right. But the customer was elderly, and the solution to their problem seemed to be a burden they would not be able to bear because of their financial situation and their physical and mental capacities. So I believe the Holy Spirit compelled me to do what is right. And so I went above and beyond what was technically my responsibilities to help this person and alleviate their problem. Felt good to do this. And I have done this for more than one customer, as the Holy Spirit seems to really compel me to do what is right all the time now. And I'm sure all of us can think of times when, you know, we stop to help somebody, help somebody with a flat tire, you know, push their car out of the road, you know, help somebody who's fallen down. You know, there's all these little interruptions in our lives where we can lend a helping hand and help people. So I mentioned the one at work, but, acts of kindness, random acts of kindness, right? I think we all have a little, hopefully we haven't all lived just selfish lives where we never helped anyone, stepped over people, and just went about our business. That's what they're talking about. And like I said, as Christians, I believe part of our responsibility is to be available to help people. Which brings us to the next journal prompting, which says, write about your degree of willingness to be interrupted by God. And that's where I have to say, oof, my degree of willingness could use some work. Part of me still doesn't like to volunteer for anything. But that part doesn't stand a chance if the Holy Spirit puts a word in. So yeah, I will hem and haw and try to avoid people initially, but then I find myself turning around and helping them anyway, because the leading of the Holy Spirit springs me into action, because I know if I don't answer the call, I won't have peace. So I do what is right and have become a little more willing in that regard, but could use a little more help in being actively helpful as he adds those words to the text. And we move along to the next journal entry. Hey, I had to enter something in my journal. Give me a break. What might the lowest service be in your community of faith? Well, that's a matter of opinion, quite frankly. What one man would think of being lowly service can be someone else's delight. Some could think that any of the tasks in the community of faith could be low service. Groundskeeping, children's ministry, recovery ministry, hospitality, or ushering could all be seen to be beneath us by some. But that is why God made the body of Christ, to have people with individual talents and dispositions to meet all the functions of the body. And as long as the service we do brings glory to God, there really is no lowest service. And apparently there's no intercessions today, as we just move straight to the prayer. So maybe I'll just, you know, say a quick prayer. No, I'm not going to deviate from the study. There's no intercession on Saturday. Sorry, guys, I guess that's all I can guess. So pray for the people that you feel led to pray for, but, we'll finish off the study with the prayer for today by praying, Lord, as I go about my business today, don't hesitate to interrupt me and give me the grace to notice the interruption. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so that completes that completes day 28 of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I hope that encourages you. You know, for the 1,000th encouraging message, I didn't write much because I panicked that I wouldn't have enough time. But I hope that encourages you. You know, that's it. You know, I'm not counting the messages. It's just I sort of sequentially started that. Somewhere along the line, more or less from the beginning, shortly after I started those texts and started numbering them, and, you know, it just sort of became part of the format, and I certainly didn't do it to boast, but today's, the 1,000th message, of the Purity series, and like I said, it started as, text messages to one man, to encourage him in his sexual purity, as I, he asked me to be his accountability partner. Eventually I sent those messages to a group of, you know, more men, a group of men. And then I started to share the same message basically to Facebook with a photo of the day. And then when I started to do that, I realized it was just sort of a hassle to copy and paste everything. And I resurrected my blog in 2020. Which I had began, which basically laid mostly dormant. I didn't have a whole lot of messages on the blog since 2015. As I moved forward, you know, I can tell you the numbers: 2015, 17 messages; 16, 19; 17, 12; 2018, 3 messages. That was the year of my divorce, you know, basically. And 2019, 0 messages. And 2020, 89. So it began in the fall. And then 2021, 390. Last year, 394 messages. So that, if you add those numbers up, that's not going to come to 1,000, you know, basically. But the unseen messages, which were, you know, short texts and you know, resources from different Christian authors, just like I do now, you know, basically we're all in my cell phone, and there might be a couple missing, and maybe someday I'll share those things. But honestly, some of them are just, you know, hey, here's something I read, and it was really encouraging. I hope it encourages you. And that's the thing. We can have a very simple ministry of encouragement, where we just say, hey, man, I read this book. I read this passage in the Bible, and it says this, and I hope that encourages you in your faith. It encouraged me. And that sort of points to the need for ourselves to be disciples in terms of continually seeking encouragement and education and edification through various resources, Christian books, Christian messages, the Bible. So when we are pursuing the Lord, seeking the Lord is my first advice. I have a lot of first advice, but seek the Lord would probably be the main thrust, and to seek Him continually and to do His will. So you seek His knowledge, His love, His presence, and to do what He would have you do, to do His will, not your own. And that's the disciple's pathway, and it should be paved with encouragement. You know, we don't just walk around like silent monks, you know, serving the Lord or praying to the Lord and staying in His presence and not impacting other people. We're never called, you know, while the Christian path of discipleship definitely includes time of seclusion and solitude, that's not what we do all the time. You know, we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world, but certainly in the world. And so I've decided to jump into the world through my blog and now the podcast and everything else. So if you wanted to see that first message, I did share a link to it on today's blog post, and I shared it on the blog. So it's there. It's called The Sexual Purity Encouraging Text That Started It All, Purity Number One. So if you wanted to see that and the original logo to our Celebrate Freedom Recovery Ministry and the motto of walking in victory with a cross in it, those images are also on the blog today. So that's that. As always, we are also sharing from A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God, where we continue in chapter 11. With his chapter is on objections and difficulties. So if you want to see what he's commenting on today, you would have to go to the mtforchrist.org and look at the end of today's blog post. This blog post, the one that's on the 28th day of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's journey. And I hope that's right. Jeez, if I'm out of sequence, I'll lose my mind. No, I did 27 yesterday. I'm right on track. Got to be careful when you do these sequential things. Anyway, I have to work today because it's Saturday and they change things and you got to be prepared. And, you know, even though it's Saturday, I'm pretty happy because afterwards I get to go see my wife. And, you know, granted it'll be a one day weekend tomorrow. I'm going to praise the Lord all the more because how good He is, you know. I started this journey of faith to follow the Lord, the one who saved me, and to surrender whatever I could to faithfully follow Him. And along the way, I decided to encourage other people in the walk and not, you know, just keep my salvation to myself. And that has made all the difference in my life as, you know, those choices to be faithful have transformed everything. About my life, really. And so that's why I do this. That's why I get up early and make a message and do a podcast before my regular life, because it literally changed everything. And I walk in peace and joy most of the time. Granted, there's some frustration, but we try to stay on course. And that's what this life is all about, just enduring and following through and seeing where the Lord will take you. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank You for another day in the kingdom. Lord, thank You for this path that You put before us, Lord, and we're going to keep on walking and talking with You because Your ways are right and Your ways are good. And when we walk in the Spirit, we experience the fruit of the Spirit. So, Lord, we just pray for anyone listening or reading this message that they be blessed and that they would pick up their cross and follow you and that you would come alongside them in their walk of faith and their prayer request today to encourage them as they go. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. And we just pray for you to go before us today. You're the sovereign God, so we'll recognize everything that happens as part of your will. We'll have to, if we're interrupted, we'll have to deal with that. And if we have to help someone, we'll try to be faithful in that. So just open our eyes to what you want us to see and lead our paths in the things you would have us do. I said it already, but Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.